Pompa chom den de de shin je va dra chom ba yam da ba zo de zang ge ring ba da chap su den ba de ba shin ba chi ten ke pa ke wo de me ka lo yo wa la ma me wa la da mi nam ge chom ba sang ge chom den de ya ge wa sha ya tu wa la ja ze lo chu de ge su chi o tom pa chom den de bejen jawa da jomba yamba wan dobe sangye shabzo demba devara jawa jigden jamba kibu dube kalu lana meba lado menon je jamba sangye yanja duba la jazen lo jodo jabzo jeo demba chomden de deshe Tajumba yandava zobe sanje rebada jazo demba dewa shem. Kibu dube kalo juva lana meba lada. Dumba sanje jumden de be java shajan tuba la jan. Chudu jazo che oi. Gumbo jezu jambe yang la jaze lo Kangi lo tu timni tende nyenda namda rabze Tungun jishin se che nyeje toga lewa manze Kanda zibe tsura mare mendon to nye geze Jozo gun la poji taze yan la choji yan den son Chodara che jo nyumo nilo leje cha jo choze Mari muze do nye nyugo che nye chunze raje Tene daje saju taze yan den lunzo yase tobe go Chuta chuta chuni gende talu mes jambe yala de omo arabazana de omo arabazana de arabazana de omo arabazana de 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 Peje jujin me do tamare ra linje nyende jambade Sanje jindu midim bewa ye Dogen namda jin chubara shoy Ke namanje chugu kala genze tende ne Che dara zambe dujen zemala Sabje jeje chava abdosu Danguru rana menda alagana yadayame Sanje chodamala chanju obado tane javzo che Tage chushe jebe sonamage Dola penje sanje jubara sho Chuta zoji cho namala chanju bando tani jazu che Tage chuchi jibe sonamange dola penje Jubara sho sanje Chuta zoji cho namala chanju bando tani jazu Tage chuchi jibe sonamange dola penje Jobara sho Lada lame medami anje umbo dan Jajin lazo chuje chula chawa cheva Nama sanje sumba rabdo shishin tewe gyujoba
Deda jege dambe chunin jenen de jeje namo alaye judan laye kedan ludan nujenge dubunda dami yeke namda. Chowa gwenje jana jizamba tamje kedu tagi chudundu.
Good morning, and thank you for braving the weather. It's very cold, isn't it? So let's do our ritual. Any opportunity to apply what we have learned during the classes in your life? Anybody want to share? This is the main thing, isn't it? If we are unable to apply at all, then yes, you have knowledge, you have gained knowledge, you have learned new things, but then that's all about it. So if we try to apply, of course we forget all the time. But if we have tried consciously to apply, and then I believe that, you know, there will come a day that it becomes your habit. But if you don't try at all, then there's no way. It's the same thing. So remember Einstein? We are insane. Doing the same thing and hoping for something else, something different. Yes.
I've been working a long time on gaining more patience. But the thing that's helped me lately, the last few months and weeks, is to regularly remind myself that all situations are, you know, grounded in emptiness. The minute I think of something as being related to me, I think is empty of inherent existence. If I take out the me, the ego, then it's this is not going to be a problem. And by reminding myself just regularly of that, whether I'm feeling impatient or not, it comes up first before I think of the patient. So it's very, very helpful to have it though.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, I think that's what we discussed last Sunday. The root of all the problems is ignorance. Ignorance is not this mistaken view of how I exist. We have this view, that this misconception that there is something absolute, there is something absolute I there. And because of that notion, we cling onto it, and that's when we are attached. And then in attachment to this I, we engage in all kinds of activities. Some activities, some actions to have that pleasure for this I. And sometimes we engage in activities to be not separated from these pleasurable things. So if we are able to really attack that main cause, that you can only do that through the understanding, through the wisdom realizing emptiness. But of course, at the moment, we don't really have this level of understanding. But at least just having this intellectual understanding, you know, oh, I does not really, you know, exist. What I perceive and what is there are two different things. That what I am perceiving is not the reality, so I should not. Or I is just a label given to all this. Yeah, immediately you can see that the grip kind of loosens. So that's how we're supposed to do. That's very good to remind yourself. Every day, remind, okay, today I will try my best. And it works. Let me give you an example. When I was in Atlanta, one of the assignments that you are supposed to, one of the assignments was to adopt a contemplative practice. And then you practice that for, I think during that quarter, and then in the end you write a report. So I chose to be mindful of talking ill of other people. You know, normally when we see, especially the news that going around, when you see on the TV, it's really fast. We started to talk negative about other person. So I thought that I have that weaknesses. So I thought, okay, I will choose to do that. And every day you're supposed to write, okay, this morning, how many times you remembered to be mindful of that. So I remembered to this, or at this, today in the end, if the today, at end of the day, you say, today, how many times this incident occurred? And then how many times you were able to remember to be mindful and aware of this. So you write down, but you can see if you look at the data, the first few days, yeah, there is no awareness at all. Only in the evening when you go through, oh, I did this, I did this, I did. But later towards the end, yeah, when you, even when you are watching TV and you start to do something, then you are able to apply break. And when you are having conversation with somebody else, of course, always the politic comes up, and then when you talk about all this, yeah, you are able to apply that break. So this shows that if we put effort, if we direct our attention towards doing something, it is possible. It is possible. At the moment, yeah, we are not taking the first step. We thought, okay, it's very good. Yeah, we listen to all that. Oh, that's really great. Go back. Everything come back. Oh, yeah. That's how that day goes by. One Sunday, and then another Sunday, and then when you realize, oh, it's already end of the year. So since it is still January, you can still make kind of resolution. You can still resolve, okay, I have this weakness. This year, I will work on this. Like the example that I give you, okay, I have this weaknesses of talking ill of other people. I will, every day, I will remind myself, from the morning, I will make this resolution not to engage in that action or activity. And then throughout the day, try to be mindful. And then at the end of the day, you kind of check whether you were able to keep that promise or that pledge that you made. And if you continue doing that, I think you will see the result.
Come. You know, I was doing the meditation on the analytical meditation and the learning of independent
meditation. Mm-hmm. And I hope we'll go today about that. Or? We are not going through that. That's, never mind, you have any question. Yeah, I also need to make some clarification. I think I now understand why you are confused, because later when I went through my slides, the slides where I talk about the three lifetime and two lifetimes, I see that I left the three there, even though it's under the two, one and then two. Instead of putting two, I kept it three. So that was confusing. So that's actually the first six complete in one lifetime, and then the rest comes in the next life. So that's how it completes in two lifetimes. And then sometimes it can only complete after 10 lifetimes. It will take many lives, but of course completion is three. What will happen is the three one, the ignorance, the karma, and the consciousness, these three sets, you do this lifetime. And then you die and don't do anything about that karma. You take life. And then let's say after 100th lifetime, then you bring that karma, and then all this, the later three, the grasping, attachment, grasping, and then the existence. Yeah, craving, and all these three. And then comes at the end of the death. So that is the second, it only took second life, I mean lifetime. Yeah, it's the second lifetime. But in between you have taken so many lives, but that does not count. It is nothing to do with that link. And then when you take birth, when you are born, then all the rest follows. So that's how we say that it completes in three lifetimes. So what was your question?
Yeah, it a little bit clarifies right now.
Mm.
Maybe I wasn't understanding that time.
Mm.
When I do that, meditation, you think of the first one, the ignorance and the karma, and then the name and form.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about yourself, the name, your name, and the form, the body.
Mm.
After that, then because of the pictorial form of the contract, the feeling, that pictorial form came into my mind, and then it derailed my continuation
Of
the
So name and fame, all that happened. It only all happened in the womb, while we were in the womb.
So then in the womb, but when contract, the picture is the true male.
It's to show that when does this sensing of the actual feeling begins. So there's when you have this contact, that is the stage where you develop the ability to feel, to have the real feeling. The earlier one, there is ability, but you cannot really feel. But where the contact with the arrow, then that's where you can feel full feeling. Yeah, at that time you already have developed that ability. So at the first stage, let's say fame and name, you didn't even have those abilities, even to hear and all that, let alone have the feeling. Mm. So it's a developmental stage. So you first this goes through. Mm. So we are now at which stage? Which link?
Aging.
Aging and...
Maybe same aging there.
Mm.
So yeah, that the pictorial form came into my mind, and then it doesn't
resonate
with the development in the realm. So that make me so first to three, first, second, third, so then I try to stop. I can't finish all the circles. So after the form, then I try to think about my body, how this came up. Went to a different direction.
Okay, good. At least you tried. That's good.
Meditation was about the cycle. I can learn today.
Yes. So anyone?
I was in a class a couple of days ago. The class is Immigration and Human Rights. We're supposed to be able to engage in controversial topic with others and find common ground. And at one point, there was this young Chinese woman, you know, like 20-something, Han Chinese, who was making all kinds of different remarks and, negative remarks about other races. And at one point she says, well, we don't have any minorities in China. So I said, yes, you do. Yeah, the Tibetan and the Uyghur. And she's a champion debater, and she went on and talked about the Tibetan, this, that, and the other. And then the teacher yanked us up out and said all kinds of other things, I'm uncomfortable, blah, 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 blah. And so then later on I talked to him, and he wanted me to, you know, at some other point engage that person and so forth. And I said, no, that person is, and to my mind it was like she's, you know, is the product of, you know, of ignorance. And it's very, very a strong system that she has, and very close-minded, and so she's trapped, you know, in the ignorance thing. So I will not, you know, So that's how, you know, try to convey that to the teacher, you know, in lay term, you know, and I said, no, I'm just, it's the timing is wrong.
Mm.
So
yeah.
that's what you know, this practice I've taught me. I just have to pull out and, you know, recognize, you know, what you see, and it's, she's the product of where she comes from.
Yeah. Remember we have a saying, choose your battle well, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. No point. Yeah, no point. It's good that you see, you realize that. That's what we call the emotional awareness. Sometimes we don't realize, we are so focused, we are so determined, we are so, I mean, think that we are right and I must change that person. And then we go on doing, what do you call the head locking, is it? What do you call that?
Headbutting.
Headbutting, is it? Lock in horns, is it?
Yeah, lock in horns, yeah.
Yeah. No point. Yeah. Sometimes the best method is just walk away from that.
Right.
So that's why one of the tips is, you know, when you are getting angry, just walk away.
Right.
But most of the time, we don't recognize this. We don't recognize that we are boiling. That's the problem. So all this meditation is supposed to help us to enhance our awareness. So today, I was expecting some newcomers, so I thought that since we have talked about meditation in our first classes, so if there are newcomers, I thought that I will just briefly go through. So some of the things that I'm going to talk, you have already heard from me. Yeah, so bear with me. So why meditate? There are so many benefits, so many benefits. I just wanted to focus on this resilience zone. So one of the main benefits or advantage of meditation is to calming our mind and body. So that's why we have this very, it has become so popular now, the Kapap Zen's MBSR, mindfulness-based stress reduction. Yeah. So he has written this thick book called The Full Catastrophe Living or something. And if you read that, there is a colossal of anecdotal evidence how helpful it is. And some even have this kind of excruciating, suffering from this kind of excruciating pain, acute pain. But after going through that 10 days of this mindfulness meditation, yeah, no more have this pain. And then, of course, mainly stress. So one of the many benefits is to calm our minds. So I think there's something called resilience zone. So if we are able to be in the resilient zones, we are most effective in fulfilling our goals. We will be able to make sound decisions. That's the best or the ideal to be in, resilient zone. Of course, there are ups down, but you don't go beyond that. But what happens, so this is called resilience zones. So even though there are some changes, you still remain in that zone. So that's very healthy, very good for us. But most of the time, we are like this. Up, down, up, down, up, down. So what happens is, when you are all the time out of this resilient zones, then there are two dangers. The first one is hyper. If you go so high, all the time stress, all the time anxious. That's very dangerous. And our body is not made to experience that. I think most of you know how this system, nervous system works, autonomic nervous system. There are two systems, two pathways, neural pathways, under the autonomous nervous system. One is sympathetic nervous system, the other one is parasympathetic nervous system. So we are built in this sympathetic nervous system is to, when we are faced, when we perceive threats or danger, so then that system kicks in, then it releases hormones or adrenaline or whatever it is, and then what is called the flight and fight or flight response. So we are all the time tense, and it reduces the other things which are not necessary at this at that moment. So imagine if you are all the time in that moment, when we are, when we sense threat, you can see how hyper we are. If we live or if we stay in that kind of situation for hours and hours, days and days, it's very, very damaging to our health. And then sometimes, yeah, we are low, no energy at all, no enthusiasm at all. That's when we are sinking into depression. We don't want to move at all. There is feeling of lethargic and inertia. You don't want to move anything, you don't do anything, just want to lie in. That's also bad. So it is important to remain there. So meditation, especially that mindfulness meditation, is supposed to be very effective in this. So I don't know whether I need to go through this. So what is meditation? In Sanskrit, it's called bhavana, which means cultivation. So we can cultivate a lot of things, but here we are talking about cultivating inner qualities. In Tibetan, it is called gom. Gom means to familiarize, to accustom to something. So when you engage in something repeatedly, then you become more familiar with that thing, and then that becomes your second nature. So meditation is about training and transforming the mind. But our mind is like the wild elephant. It is not easy to tame. So one, if I am to put in a very simple term, mind is to change our this habit. At the moment, we have all these habits which are not really conducive to our well-being, which doesn't align with what we desire. We desire for happiness. We do not want to experience unhappiness. But the habit that we have developed are actually the things that brings suffering and unhappiness and destroys happiness. So now meditation is to help us reverse that habit. If we are in that particular habit, okay, reverse that and then direct it to another direction. So that way we can benefit. So this one we have already seen. Has anybody seen this clip? You haven't seen. So those who have seen before. So this is one of our habit. How strong the attachment is to your things. What does it say about our habit?
It is really strong, this thing is.
Mm.
Because we perceive things and we convince ourselves that this is it.
Mm.
And then we respond to that.
Yeah. We only see one part, and then we think that we are right.
That's right.
Mm. And then we judge people. Actually, it's accusing them of stealing their bags. So that's our problem. We tend to do that. In most of the quarrels, family quarrels, disputes, all this, you have really, you know, the fact, you have only this much. But you make a huge thing. And just with this, you're accusing him this, even the her, this. So it is always to have the full picture. So that one also not being mindful. Suddenly you see that your thing's gone and then you something else, you go after them. Not even thinking any other possibilities. That's one thing. Then play. Sorry. What do you get from this?
Some prejudging.
Mm-hmm.
Prejudging.
And reacting to it as if, you know, what's here, as if this is what's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it's funny because we saw this before, also, and I realized watching it that I also think about why is it such an issue if somebody is staring at you? The discomfort those people feel is really incredible, but certainly they have perceived that they're being stared at, and that makes them uncomfortable. But then the question becomes, well, you have a question of perception, or the person's blind, so not really staring at you, but if he was, if he wasn't blind, what difference would it make?
Also the ego of, they're staring at me.
Mm-hmm.
I must be really important.
Mm.
It's all about me. Because they couldn't be staring at anybody else. They're staring at me.
Mm.
They take it on so personally that the ego gets so involved.
Mm. Anybody?
It's more about subject than object.
Mm-hmm. Subjective?
That the person, these kind of people are thinking about he is looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you think he's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the subject is the person, these people are saying, why are you looking at me like this? But he is just there, not looking at that, but not necessarily looking at that, but staring at
him. Mm.
So,
okay. Yeah, of course, this is very subjective. You can draw your own conclusion. But the point I was trying to make here is that, you know, at the end, everybody relaxes. Why?
Because it's not No,
after learning that he's blind, your attitude changes.
No threat.
You kind of excuse. The example that I gave one time, let's say if you are walking in your, you know, the nicest shirt, very expensive shirt, and then somebody, you know, bang into you and spill a coffee. So you're so angry. And then when you turn and you found that it's a blind man, completely that anger and all that goes down.
Right.
So this is what I was trying to show. How we interpret things. When we learn that this is a blind person, you kind of excuses. You no longer feel that threat. You no longer feel angry. You no longer have this hostility against that person. So this shows that it's all your attitude, how you look at things, how you perceive things. So that's why compassion and all these comes into play. If you have this kind of real care and love and sense of endearment towards everybody, whatever they do, you will not react in that way. If your child says nasty things at you, you don't get that angry. Whereas somebody else, other than somebody who is close with you, says something else, then you get angry. It's all because all this information is filtered through the interpretation. So if you have this kind of way, oh, all are sentient beings, you know, my has been very kind to me, they have been my mother, you know, in past lives, and they have been very kind, all this, you have this kind of real, view or perception, then whoever does all this kind of thing, you won't feel it. Instead, you may feel even compassion, but we don't see any compassionate response. Everybody was so angry that that person is staring at me, not knowing that, you know. So sometimes, you see, we work so hard to change our environment. It is just the attitude. If we are undergoing a very hardship, but if we have this kind of optimistic view, remember we watch another... Yeah, we watch a clip, Facebook clip, where this boy says that, you know, this young African-American boy, he says that how grateful he is that, you know, even though he didn't have the best phone, but there are many people who are praying to possess what he has. And there are people, he says that you can be appreciative to have a garbage bin to rummage in. Whereas, you know, in other places, even if you want to rummage into a garbage bin, there is no garbage bin to rummage in. So you see how powerful the interpretation, our attitude plays a role. So that's what I was trying to,
convey.
So in meditation, there are two main obstacles. Mental excitement. And then mental laxity. Mental excitement is like, that's why we call monkey-like mind. It never remains on one object. It keeps jumping from one thing to another. Later you can tell from your own experience when you try to do meditation, focus on something else. Your mind keeps wandering. And we also watch presentation of a research that showed that wandering minds is an unhappy mind. And another obstacle is this drowsiness when we try to do Yeah, sometimes, yeah. For me, if I'm asked to read a novel book, especially a suspenseful and thriller, I can go on and on. But if I'm to read a Lamrim text, let's say around 10 p.m., yeah, I wouldn't be able to finish the first page. I will be like, so that's not good for your meditation. So we need to focus. Today I thought to do something different, but I don't know whether... I wasn't planning to spend so much time on this, but it's already a break time. What we are going to do is we will start with the normal mindfulness meditation, and then we will end with this recitation. So this will... First it will be like a quiet meditation, and then we also do some recitation so that, you know, we cultivate a little bit of merit as well, just from the recitation. So sometimes when we just do the silent meditation, of course, if your motivation is bodhicitta, then definitely it is going to be meritorious. But a secular version of just focusing on your breath, I don't know how meritorious that can be. So we will do the first part just to calm our mind, and then we will focus on this, the Buddhas. We will do the Buddhas. I didn't print for each of you, so it will be displayed here so you can read. But I think maybe many of you know by heart. And I have chosen a tune. I have always difficulty saying that word. Tune, is it? Tune. Tune, T-U-N-E.
Like cartoon.
Cartoon, tune, yeah. Yeah, so we will, I think it goes on for 5 minutes. So in that 5 minutes, so you can do the visualization, which we have discussed before. So visualize Buddha in front of you, somewhere. Normally we say at where or this eyebrow, just the four, somewhere here, and then yeah, imagine the Buddha there. And then as you recite, you visualize a nectar and rays of light emerges from Buddha's body and then dissolved into you and purifies all our negativities that is created through the three doors, the speech, body, mind, which we have created this life as well as in the past lives. Then at the same time, you can also imagine receiving Buddha's blessing of body, speech and mind. So this way, yeah, we are engaging in the practice, purification practice. So this is also good. Remember, one of the characteristics of karma is that karma multiplies. The only way to prevent multiplying negative karma is to engage in purification practice. So that's our goal for today. So before, I think it's only just a few minutes before the break. So let's break early, and then we will do the meditation. Okay, let's do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Today I'm going to read the instructions slowly. Let's begin the practice by finding a relaxed, comfortable posture. If you are on a cushion on the floor, you can sit in a full lotus position with each foot resting on the opposite thigh. If you cannot sit in the full lotus posture, then the half lotus is sufficient. If you have difficulty sitting on the floor, you can sit on a chair or in whatever position that is most comfortable to you. Your spine should be straight. Hold your head slightly bent forward. Shoulders should be level and relaxed, neither slouching nor stiff and tense. Place your two hands in the meditation gesture, the right hand on top of the left hand, with your thumbs touching at about the level of the navel. Alternatively, you could place your hands gently on your thighs with the tips of your fingers resting on your knees. Let your mouth and teeth rest in a relaxed, natural position. The tip of your tongue should rest gently on the upper palate, just behind the teeth. Let your eyes relax. You can either keep them gently closed or gaze softly in front of you at an angle where, if you were to look, you would see the tip of your nose. Let's take three deep breaths, each time breathing all the way down into your belly as if you are filling up the torso with the in-breath from the bottom to the top. Breathe deeply in this way and feel your belly rising each time as the air fills in. When you exhale, let your breath out at a slow, measured pace. Again, draw in a deep breath, filling your body with revitalizing oxygen. And as you slowly release this second breath, feel your whole body relaxing. On the final deep breath, draw in all of your attention into this moment and release the breath slowly, feeling yourself drop into your body and into the present moment. Now bring your attention to the present moment by focusing on your breath. Choose a pace of breathing that is neither shallow nor deep, just natural. Now choose a focal point to help anchor your awareness of the sensation of your breathing. Notice where you feel your breath in your body most prominently. It could be the tips of your nostrils, where you feel subtle sensations as you breathe in and out, or your belly, where you feel the sensation of its rising and falling as you breathe. Once you have the focal point, just breathe in and out while resting your mind on that focal point. There is no need to think about your breath, nor control it. Simply allow your body to breathe naturally at its own pace and experience each incoming and outgoing breath. As you do this, you might notice that your mind has wandered. You may start thinking about other things. If this happens, it is not a problem. It's very natural. Simply notice that your mind has wandered and gently bring it back to your breath. It is important not to judge yourself when this happens. Simply bring your attention back to your breathing and continue focusing on your breath. If you are finding it difficult to hold your attention on your breath, you can try counting. You can try mentally counting your breath with each round of inhalation and exhalation as one cycle. Breathe in. As you breathe out, mentally say one. You would count up to 10 and then start over. Another helpful technique is to place a hand on your belly to feel its rising and falling with each breath. Either of these techniques can be used to help hold your attention on the breath for a long period of time. If you feel yourself feel getting dull or sleepy, you might want to check your posture to ensure that your spine is upright. You may also try opening your eyes briefly to allow some light to come in, then return to the breath. Now let's shift our awareness from the breath to our unfolding inner experiences. Allow any thoughts, emotions, or sensations in the space of your mind arise naturally and simply be aware of their presence. Allow them to arise, to be there, and then pass on in their natural course. Do not show preference for one kind of thought or feeling over another. Do not try to resist certain kinds of thoughts or feelings, and try not to get involved in these thoughts or feelings. Simply allow them to emerge in the space of your mind. Observe them while they are there, then allow them to pass naturally. The mind is similar to the ocean. On the surface, it can be calm and clear, or stormy and rough. Similarly, the mind can be agitated and swirling out of control, or pleasant and calm. But in the depths of the ocean, deep below the changing nature of the surface, the depths are always cool, clear and calm. Try to connect to this part of your mind. No matter what is occurring on the surface, it is always luminous, clear and calm in the depth. Now begin to return your attention to your body. Start to notice the physical sensations that you are feeling in your posture. Bring yourself back into the room. Start to notice any sounds, smells, or bodily sensations that you are sensing here in the present moment. You can open your eyes now. How was it? Let me read something to de-stress. Maybe you have already heard this. Ever since Robert was a child, he had a fear of someone under his bed at night. Have you heard this before? No, okay. So he went to a psychiatrist and told him, "I've got a problem. Every time I go to bed, I think there's somebody under it. I'm scared. I think I'm going crazy." "Just put yourself in my hands for 1 year," said the psychiatrist. "Come talk to me 3 times a week, and we should be able to get rid of those fears." "How much do you charge?" $200 per visit," replied the doctor. "I'll think about it, and if needed, I'll come back to you," Robert said. 6 months later, he met the psychiatrist on the street. "Why didn't you come to see me about those fears you were having?" he asked. "Well, $200 a visit 3 times a week for a year is an awful lot of money. An Indian friend of mine cured me for the price of one plate biryani and a bottle of Coke. I was so happy to have saved all that money that I went and bought myself a new SUV." "Is that so?" with a bit of an attitude, he said. "And how, may I ask, did the friend cure you?" "He told me to sell the bed and sleep on the mattress on the floor." Did that help to de-stress? It's funny, isn't it? We are doing meditation to de-stress, but we need something else to de-stress after that meditation. I find this funny here, the line it says, "Start to notice the physical sensations that you are feeling in your posture. Bring yourself back into the room. Start to notice any sound, smell." The assumption is that we don't feel any of those. We are really, you know, concentrated on whatever our object is. So it is asking us to please come back to the world. People like me, no, I don't need to come back, I'm already back. Okay, so how was it? Is it too long or too short? Is it okay? Okay, so now let's do the recitation one. So there is a visualization instruction. I will read and then you just meditate. At the level of your forehead, about 6 feet in front of you, is a large golden throne. It is beautifully adorned with jewels and supported at each corner by a pair of snow lions. On the throne is a fully developed lotus, and on that lotus are sun disk and moon disk. The Buddha is seated on the lotus sun and moon disk. His body is in the nature of golden light, magnificent, and wears the three robes of a monk. His face is beautiful, has a loving smile, has compassionate eyes. His compassionate eyes look towards you while encompassing all sentient beings. His mind is free of all judgmental thought, and he accepts you fully. His eyes are long and fine, and his gaze is very peaceful. His eyes are lowered and half closed. His lips are red, and his hair blue dark. Each hair individually curls to the right. On the crown of his head is an unisha. The palm of his right hand rests on his right knee. His left hand rests in his left, holding a ball filled with nectar. His body is in the vajra posture and bathed in light. Looking at me with compassionate eyes, Shakyamuni Buddha says, son or daughter of the lineage, if you wish to be liberated from the suffering of samsara, I will guide you. Let's recite this chanting together. Let's do the chanting together. Om Muni Muni Ma Muni Yeso Ha. Om Muni Muni Ma Muni Yeso. Don't forget to do the visualization, yeah? Purification, visualization.
Andiyada omo mone mone ma mone yaso wa omo mone mone ma mone yaso ha omo mone mone ma mone yaso omo mone mone ma mone yaso wa omo mone mone ma mone yaso wa omo mone mone ma mone yaso omo mone mone ma mone yaso wa omo mone mone ma mone yaso wa omo mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma mone yaso Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa Om mone mone ma Om mone mone ma mone yaso wa jawandi nyudo da shage je bun ju ju ne to wa chi ja ma lu ba ke sa la ku ba ra sho
Yeah, that concludes our meditation. Any questions? If not, we will... Yes, I forgot about that.
Begin with the short mandala offering, and then the dedication, including the prayers.
Joje medo damar raleje nyende gemba de sange shendo mede buwai. Rogu namda jenda jubara jo. Edan guru dana mandala gana. Dayai me Rimbu je ma je bana je yu je Keba nyamba meba yang Kone kondu pewara shu Hame guze rabden je Namgara tele choju yeba dan Lozan tembe dhume sazuma Jove muze dadu ne yuru je Korve shengang zo pendang dewa malu jungwe ne Chere sewan tenzin jang zo yi Chabe sithi padu ten gyuru chi Jitara genpa dang kundu sambu tenyang tishin Teta kungi jizu talub chi Gyawa teta dam rabdu ngoy Gyawa damje je ngowa gala chodo ngabandi Taje gyewe tzawan dengwe jang sambu chuchi rabdo ngowa je